Again, it is my great honor and privilege to be here with you. In March 2005, a convicted rapist, Brian Nichols, escaped from an Atlanta courthouse, murdering the presiding judge, a court reporter, and a sheriff's deputy. Nicholas fled to the nearby suburb where he forced a resident, Ashley Smith, into her apartment at gunpoint and held her hostage through the night. Things took an unexpected turn when Smith and Nicholas began discussing their families and God. Smith began to win her captor over and eventually made him a pancake breakfast. This was a true story, but later it became a movie. You might have seen that movie. The movie's name is Captor, I think. So in today's scripture reading, we can see a captive girl. In spite of all her situation, she was compassionate to her master. So please turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 to 19. 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 to 19. It's a long chapter, and I just want to read some of the highlighted portions. As I go through the word, please follow me the scripture. 2 Kings chapter 5 verses 1 to 19. I'm going to read from ESV. Then he returned to the man of God. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. So Naaman went in and told his lord thus and spoke the girl from the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Verse 8. But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean. But Naaman was angry and went away, saying, behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord, his God, and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Verse 14. So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Verse 15. Then he returned to the man of God and all his company, and he came and stood before him. And he said, "Behold, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. So accept now a present from your servant." But he said, "As the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive none." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Then Naaman said, "If not, please let there be given to your servant 2 mule loads of earth. For from now on your servant will not offer burnt offering or sacrifice to any god but the Lord. In this manner, in this matter, may the Lord pardon your servant. When my master goes into the house of Rimmon to worship there, leaning on my arm, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon your servant in this matter." He said to him, "Go in peace." May God bless us with the reading and hearing of his word. Would you please pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Comforter, Counselor, Holy Spirit, Triune Lord, we worship you, we adore you. We thank you for giving us another opportunity to come to your throne of grace in this Lord's Day. Lord, we thank you for your congregation and your chosen people. We agree that we are feeble men and women. We ask you that, Lord, you prepare our heart to receive your word. We submit the rest of the time. Help us to hear a heavenly voice. You speak to us what we want to hear today. You make us a great instrument for your glory and your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. This scripture portion may be very familiar to you all. You might have read it many, many times. But when we go back to the background of this book, when I was reading the story, the Naaman and the Jewish girl, it touched me a lot. When you come to 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 23, when Solomon was dedicating the temple, his prayer was, "There is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath." So his prayer gives a picture that when foreign people visit the temple in Jerusalem for prayers, because the God of Israel is famous for answering the prayers of all people. If you read 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 41 to 43. So when we look at this, that was the global mission of the temple and the nation of Israel. So that was his dream. When he built this temple, when the people from outside the country, when they come and pray, because the God of Jehovah, he was a God of answering the prayers of all. When people come to give the pilgrimage and homage to the temple, you see that that's a global mission of the church and the temple. But when we come to the final chapter of 2 Kings, it gave us a picture. A foreign nation coming to Jerusalem, not to worship, but destroy the temple and take the people in captive. 2 Kings chapter 25, verses 8 to 21. So when we see that, that was a tragedy and that was a failed mission of the temple. However, God continues his global redemption through his foreign sovereign plans. God is working among the nations and people. So I have named today's sermon as a captive's compassion. So one of the themes of 2 Kings is God's global redemption. So as the Third Reformed Church, so what is our global redeeming plan for his kingdom? We are in Bybury Road, we are in Street Road. We know that outside our church, we may have the people from other nations living in apartments. Are you participating in the global redemption plan of God? Through the story of Naaman and the Jewish slave girl, God's purpose of global redemption is being fulfilled. As we go through the text, we can replace their names with ours. Naaman's need was to be connected to God's covenantal family. He was a Gentile and was outside the community. He did not know God's community. But the Jewish girl's ministry was to attract the outsiders into the covenant family. Even though she was living in a foreign land, away from her home and parents, she was in very limited freedom. But when we look at her, she was available to attract people for her faith back in her country. So today, you and I, we are away from our home. We are outside our home. We may be in our workplace. We may be many miles away from our homeland. But here is a mission. I just want to connect with this Jewish girl. Are we available to be part of God's redemptive plan? Let us look at the two of these characters. When we come to verse 1, here we see the captain, Naaman. It gives us the military status of Naaman. And the next verse praises him for being a great man. You might have noticed as we have been reading. The verse 1 says, Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and a high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. The greatness of the reason for his greatness is God permitted victory through him in Syria. God of Israel has been supporting the military victory of Aram. So Jehovah is the covenant God of Israel, but he is also the Lord of all nations. But then when you look at Naaman's situation, he did not realize God's hand was upon him. Unconditional grace. We all might have the same story of Naaman. If you look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 5, Paul said, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. When you and me, when we were away from his grace, we didn't know that. But God was working behind the scene. Even the Naaman, he did not know why God gave him the victory. God was using him. Through him, God gave the Syrians the military victory. But this was the same situation of you and I. Let me take you to Jesus' great preaching to the congregation of Nazareth. That was our today's responsive reading. Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 29. We see that Jesus was quoting. He mentioned the name, and there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha, the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed. Only Naaman the Syrian. Jesus mentioned the name of Naaman, and then he mentioned the widow of Zarephath. Both were non-Jews. They were outside. They were marginalized people. They're outside the family. But then when you look at that particular passage, what we read this morning, we see that after hearing the Jesus' message, the congregation of Nazareth, what did they do? They threw Jesus out of the synagogue. Why? That was not a comforting, soothing message for them. In their version, they asked, "Hey, Naaman, why would the God of Israel heal a man who was a Gentile? Who was an enemy? He was a kidnapper of a young Jewish girl. And moreover, he was a leper who should, according to the Levitical law, who should have been isolated and left to die." So we may also like that. We judge people like that. Hey, why? Why God's grace is extending to that community? So here we see that when Israel was in rebellion and rejected God's messengers of redemption, God caused non-Israelites to receive the covenant blessings. Suppose we are, we should be the channels of his blessing. But when we reject his grace, God can use anyone for the glory of his kingdom. So God is consistently at work to lead people to himself, no matter how dark their condition is. So when we look at the second condition, undercovered grace, grieves. Naaman was a great successful man in his career, with the prestige, power, and wealth. We read about his high graphs in his career in verse 1. But later, we know that his condition. In three simple words, we know his current condition, but he was a leper. He had all high qualities, military ranks. He won many battles. But you know, in his own personal life, there were undercovered griefs. In the Bible, leprosy was the most feared disease on that day. So this may be the situation. We always see these kind of people in our society. High in rank, wealth, fame. But sometimes when you go in their personal life, they all have grieving. They all are grieving like this man. But here is the ministry needed. So here is the place this little Jewish girl, she understood the need of his life. We all know that sometimes in our own life, we were filled with the vacuum of loneliness, rejection. But that is the place God used someone in our life to reach out with the grace of Jesus Christ. So here we see that sin is deeper than leprosy. In his case, if you look at Leviticus, it clearly says what would do a person who affected with leprosy. He should be separated from the community, the church, and the family, alone. But here the sin is deeper than leprosy. It spreads. It defiles. It isolates. The sin enters the same way in human life. I don't know what kind of sin. I mean, maybe today, the drug use, fornication, alcoholism, and pornography just enters slowly. Later it spreads. It defiles and isolates us from God as well as the church. When we look at the third condition of this man, verse 11, what was it? Another problem. Naaman was furious and went away. He was a very prideful man. When he went to Elisha's grace, he asked him, "You go and dip yourself in the water 7 times. But he said, "No, I have better streams in my place. Why should I do this thing over here?" He was a little bit angry about that small thing the prophet was asking him to do. The pride is the third condition. He was asked to wash in a muddy river in Jordan, which was considered inferior to the rivers of his hometown. Somebody said, everybody has the privilege of going to heaven God's way or going to hell in their own way. Today it's the same. People want to be saved from their sins by their own way through a religious ritual, joining in a church or involving in activities, but not obeying the word of God to be transformed from inside. Titus chapter 3 verse 5 says, "He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit." Let me come to the second point. Here we see the captive's compassion, verse 3. Verse 2 introduces a second character to the story, a little Israelite girl. She had been captured by the Arameans in one of their military raids. She became a servant to Naaman's wife. We don't know her name or family, but she brought a light to that family over there. But more than being a slave, her presence among the Syrians make an opportunity for Naaman's confession of faith in the God of Israel. She was away from her parents, home, and country. But here, she is available for the solace of her master. She wanted him healed, and she believed her God would do it. God used this girl's tragedy to heal and convert her enemy. A wonderful example of love reaching out. Dear friends, God is the Father of compassion. He had so much sympathy for our suffering that he sent his one and only Son to die for us. Do you share God's compassion? Do you realize that Jesus Christ wants to express through you and I what the Father expressed through Jesus, bringing love and hope to hurting world? We are God's people, are to be clothed with compassion. Colossians chapter 3 verse 12. Being a consolation in captivity. She could have cried and doomed in her captivity, but she decided to be different in her captivity. So this makes us different. Wherever we are, we have a mission. But what decision, what we take, that makes a change around our community. Instead of being in a despised situation, she decided to be blessing to the needy. So what makes us free in our captivity. Look at Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. In their inner cells of jail with a high security, they enjoy their freedom in God. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Later, they became a consolation to the Philippian jailer who was going to hang himself. So this is the, you know, that they were inside and under arrest. They were in a very limited freedom. But what made a change in their life? They were glorifying God, praising God. But that can give a transformation to the jailer. So no matter what situation we are in, we are called to compassionate and be comforters. God uses any committed believer, no matter how ordinary or insignificant he or she may be. So here she witnessed boldly to God's great power when she spoke to her mistress. It was all the kitchen communication. When she was helping her mistress at the kitchen, she just said, "Hey, I know your husband or my master can get healing. And my God," I was just thinking in this way, what if Naaman did not get healing? Her situation would be in more danger. She did something simple with great courage, and that changed everything. So why can't we do the same thing with our neighborhood, with our neighbor, with our colleague, in our workplace? So never underestimate the power of a simple witness, for God can use anyone for his purpose. Let me come to the third point, captain's conviction. Verse 15 and 17, if you look at, in the beginning, he thought he can buy healing with silver and gold. That was his attitude. When we look at this scripture portion, he brought 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 pairs of clothes in order to buy healing. But the grace of God cannot be bought with silver and gold or power or position. We must come to God in humility and faith to believe his revelation in the scripture. In fact, power and position, silver and gold, can be hindrance to coming to Christ as well as for the effective service. At first, he was not ready to perform the simple commands of Prophet Elisha. But verse 13, Lord used the simple servants of Naaman to summon him to the words of prophet. So when he came up from the water the seventh time, he did whatever the prophet commanded. But then you see that when he came up from the water the seventh time, his leprosy was gone. His flesh was like that of a child, little child. Otherwise, according to the New Testament language, he was born again. John chapter 3, verses 3 and 8. So what would have happen if he did only for six times? But then when he came after the seventh time, that is the born again experience, is that right? So his skin became like a child. We read that Naaman's skin was restored like the flesh of a little child. By his obedience, he demonstrated his faith in God's promise, and the Lord cleansed him of his leprosy. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The obedience, no matter what you do, are you able to do according to his command? His commandments. The transformation needs to happen radically. At first he lost his temper. You see that he was a very tempered man, very angry man. At first he lost his temper. Then he lost his pride. Then he lost his leprosy. This is our situation always. But then when we come to God's kingdom, we need to be humble. He renounced the false gods and idols of Syria and identified himself with Jehovah, the true God. If you look at verse 15, he came to an understanding that there is only one true God in all earth. Ultimate acknowledgement of a true God. He had been saved and healed by trusting in God's grace. Now he had to grow in grace and faith and learn how to live to please the God of who saved him. He returned to Elisha's household. When you come to verse 15, after this happened, he came back to Elisha. He wanted to see him. Then here he confessed everything. You know, ultimate understanding of true wealth. I mean, after healing, Naaman expresses his faith in the Lord according to the culture, norms, by offering gift to the prophet Elisha. He thought, maybe, hey, just for a gratitude, I just want to give some gift. But then prophet Elisha denied it. If you look at verses 15 to 17, the request number one, he said, please accept my gift. But Elisha denied his gift because accepting gifts would affirm Naaman's misconception that Israelite prophets work for profit. But then we see that his second request, he said, hey, please give me 2 mules, lots of Israelite soil back to Syria so that he may construct an earthen altar to the Lord. I like the verse 17. If you look at Naaman said, please, if not, please let your servant at least be given 2 mules, Lord of earth. For your servant will no longer offer burnt offering, nor will he sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. I think now he really understands the value of wealth. See, the man who brought millions of dollars to buy healing, but now he understands the value of the wealth. He said, please give me 100 pounds of soil of this land. I can take back this land. Dear friends, I was just comparing this thing in our own life. We came from earth. Do we take anything back? We need this only the 2 mules, Lord of earth, because we need to bury our body into this earth. So I consider, I mean, only you need 6 feet of earth in this world when you go back. Whatever you gain in this earth, can we take with us? So I was thinking, this is the great understanding. Here, the 2 mules, Lord of earth, equal to 750 pound silver plus 150 pound gold plus 10 pairs of clothing. If you value this, this is actually a great the money. I mean, whatever the gift he brought to Elisha. But here he comes, nothing. I cannot do anything with the wealth of this world. Request number three, but Naaman's conflict between his newfound faith and his home culture. Here he said, hey, prophet, when I go back to my country, my boss, my king, when he goes to worship the pagan god, I have to assist him. I have to help him while going, but then please forgive me. I mean, he was confused. I mean, this is a kind of a cultural kind of thing. I don't know, maybe we also face the same kind of cultural issues. Maybe when we we have to be part of a pagan worship. But then here, Elisha asked him, you go in peace, because God knows the heart of you. Here is the peace comes from him. I would like to conclude in this way. I was actually reading from Philemon. Here we see the same kind of a person. His name is Onesimus. Was a slave. He's a runaway slave from his master, Philemon. But according to the great ministry of Paul, he became a committed Christian. Now, we see that he's no more a slave, but he became a son. In verse 10, he says, I appeal to you. I mean, here Paul was appealing to Philemon, and he's telling him that, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus. He was a slave, runaway slave. Now he became a child to him, a son to him, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I think this is the great ministry God has given to you and me. In Naaman's life, he was useless. But then through the ministry of a little Jewish girl, now he became a transformed person. Now he knows the value of his life. He knows the value of eternal life. He knows the value of real wealth in his life. But the same thing, we see that the ministry of Paul, a runaway slave like Onesimus, now through his intensive ministry, maybe Bible study, maybe sharing the gospel, when he was in imprisonment, he became a committed Christian. What a great ministry it is. I think this is the great ministry God has placed, a compassion to the lost. When you look around us, we see the many Onesimus. We may see many Naamans. People, they are outside the grace community, outside the covenant families. But here is the great ministry. We need to attract them into the covenant family. Because once you and me, we were trespassers, you know. We were dead in our transgression. That's Ephesians, we read that. By his grace, God called us, connected us into this family. But then, what is our ministry today? Now, Onesimus is no more a slave, but a son. So here is the ministry comes. There are many slaves outside, but can we make them as sons? Sons of God. He is no more a heartbreaker, but a heart stealer. He is no more a useless, but useful. He is no more a bond servant, but a bond brother. This is the power of the gospel. The law permitted a master to execute a rebellious slave. When herein, if you look at the Philemon, he had a full right. He could have, he can give pardon to the slave, or when he came back, he can execute them. But here, Paul is interceding in between Philemon and him. But here, God is just and God is love. If Philemon forgave Onesimus, what would the other masters and slaves think? But if he punished Onesimus, how would it affect his testimony? We see a beautiful picture of what the Father has done for us in Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, my sins were put on his account. And he was treated the way I should have been treated. When I trusted him as my Savior, his righteousness was put on my account. And now God accepts me in Jesus Christ. Jesus said to the Father, he no longer owes you a debt because I paid it fully on the cross. Receive him as you would receive me. Dear friends, here is the ministry opportunity. When we go outside this sanctuary, maybe this week or coming days, you may encounter many people outside in the kingdom. Not because of their mistake, but they do not know. They are dead in their trespasses. They are dead in their sins. But in God's grace, we have a ministry. We can share the word to them. We can share the grace to them. But in his time, through the power of his regenerating spirit, but you know, God wants to use you and me as channels, as this small little girl. Would you available for this great ministry? Please pray with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for sending him for my sake when I was dead in my sins, when I was not aware about your mercy, your grace, but still you were working behind. We thank you for that grace, Lord. And Lord, today we ask you, use us mightily to reach out the lost souls around our community, our neighborhood, and in your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray.